Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
August 31st, we'll be lining up and playing some ball here. So we're just excited. Our kids are excited. It's really not a welcome back yesterday when they come back because they've been here all summer. Like, sometimes we forget that. Even as coaches, we forget it sometimes that they've been here working and ready for this. And they were excited today. We had a lot of enthusiasm out there. It's day one. You know, as a head coach, you know, day one's always, you know, you're out there in spiders and you don't get to see a whole lot. Never as clean as you want it to be. I think when you look at it overall, you know, you just love the energy and the intensity. And we'll continue to clean it up as we move forward. So with that, we'll open up for questions.
I'm not breaking any news by saying your job, college football head coach, is one of the toughest in sports. You have to recruit kids, re-recruit them. You work 24/7. They work on vacation. I heard you say that. And then you get second-guessed by idiots like me. What exactly?
I like being second-guessed by you, Jerry.
What exactly brings you back every year?
That's a great question. I think what brings coaches back, brings me back, because that's the only one you asked about, is your love for the game. You know, we talked about it today in our team meeting, just about the team. You know, there's no greater sport than the game of football. As coaches, I think we're in this game because we like to compete. You know, you can't play anymore, so you get to coach. And to be able to bring this group together every year and produce, try to get them to gel on offense, defense, special teams, and try to put the best product on the field, that's what you do it for. It's a competition. It's a challenge. It's fun. You embrace the new stuff that we have out there, whatever it is for a head coach, whether it's the house and all the different things that are happening that, you know, there's still a lot of unknowns. It's fun. This is the best time of the year. Okay, now January, June, that's probably the worst time of the year. But right now, when you're talking about August, this is the best time of year. This is what we live for.
Now, what do you like about this group?
What do I like about him? You know, I think there's a little bit different attitude. You know, just talking to Stack, and he's been with them more than, you know, we have as coaches. He gets more time with the players. But there's Coach Stacchiotti, that is. There's just a different attitude. I think we learned a lot from last season. I think, you know, I'll say it again. I think, you know, you came out of last year, and I think they thought that we would just line up and it would happen easy. I think they're hungry to play football. I don't think, you know, and again, it's hard as a coach to see it, you know. And again, maybe you get a wrong break, and all of a sudden it doesn't go the way you want. But I like their attitude. I like the leadership. I see more leadership out of this group, out of our seniors, out of our Eagles. It's been a really clean summer for our kids. They've done a nice job. And again, it starts with the leadership. You know, to me, when you got a mature team, and again, I don't know if we have a mature team. You know, I think we have a younger team. We have a lot of guys unknown, maybe some no-name guys out here that you don't even know who are going to be the guys at certain positions. But I know there's a lot of talent. There's more talent on this football team than we had a year ago, but it might be younger. You know, last year we had some guys at the corner position, the defensive line was older, but we're younger, we're more athletic, and I just think the attitudes. I think sometimes you got to get smacked and knocked down before you go, oh, I got it. I think they got it.
This is your 10th year with the program as the head coach. What's the challenge of balancing, maintaining the tone that you want as a head coach, but also introducing new things, new coaches, new tones, and new leadership that go with this job?
Yeah, I don't think that's a challenge at all. I mean, you know, everybody buys into what we are and who we are. You know, there's always changes in X and O's, whether you're, you know, have a new staff or a new half a staff, whatever it may be. I think, you know, those things are always, you know, evolving every year. But to me, the challenge is to coach them, you know, get the details out of the players and go out and execute.
You talked about leadership, and what have you seen from Nate Yarnell just kind of having this whole offseason being that quarterback? I mean, I know he went to Charlotte with you. I mean, how has he carried himself?
He's done a nice job. I think, you know, he's led, and again, we're trying to get leadership from everywhere. You know, I really like Nate to focus on playing quarterback. You know, that's the main thing. And, you know, to me, the quarterback doesn't have to be the leader. You know, he's already the leader by the position, okay? He needs to play the best football that he can play. He needs to take care of his business first, and then, you know, the leading will come with that. You know, we didn't expect Kenny Pickett to lead when he was a freshman or sophomore or first-year starter. So, you know, that'll come. But we've got a lot more guys that can lead besides just Nate Yarnell. But he's got leadership skills. There's no question about it. And he has to as the quarterback.
Pat, when you talked to the players in spring, specifically Gavin and Rodney both brought up how they didn't want to, how they may have had opportunities to lead after last year, but that they both had like a bad taste in their mouth after going 3-9. That's not the legacy they wanted to leave. Do you think them having that attitude can be like a springboard for them to take on leadership roles?
No question about it. I mean, both of them are better leaders than they were a year ago. I think both of those guys, Gavin and Rodney, have stepped up and are doing, you know, good things out there. But, you know, it's called loyalty, and I think those guys all know, you know. And, again, I think if we won, you know, 8 games or 9 games last year, you know, the same's going to come. And those guys are going to be with Pitt. That's just who they are. They're loyal. And, again, we've got a lot of those guys. And, again, things happen for a reason. Guys leave for a reason. It's usually, you know, either you got pushed a little bit, get a little nudge, or you're disloyal.
Coming off of the season you guys had last year, is there a different sense of urgency maybe coming into this year's camp, even from day one for you and maybe for those senior leaders?
No question. For everybody in this room, I think, you know, even the incoming freshmen know that that was not the standard. So there's a different attitude, without a doubt. There's got to be, you know, we went through spring ball, there was a different attitude. They went through winter conditioning, there was a different attitude. They went through summer conditioning, there's a different attitude. And there has to be. You know, there's got to be an attitude adjustment. I think that has occurred, and I think they got it. I just see a more serious football team. And like I said, sometimes you're going, well, shoot, how did you not know? You can't tell. But now I can tell the difference, what we had and what we, you know, you kind of now are looking for something, but you didn't really see it blending from 22 to 23 or 21 to 22 to 23.
Those players are leading the season outside of your now, but those players you're seeing lead the team and what you have.
You know, Brandon George has done an outstanding job. You know, I think, he stands out as far as just, you know, taking control. I see him in text messages, with the Eagles and myself. So I see that leadership there. I see Kanate Mumfield stepping up leading. I see Eli Holstein leading. You know, Eli's done a nice job. And again, there'll be competition at that quarterback position. As I've said before, I'll say it again. So Eli's, you know, he does a nice job leading and getting around all the guys and letting them know who he is. Branson Taylor's done a nice job. Defensive line wise, you know, I think Nate Matlack's, you know, taking a leadership role, even though he's a new guy. Donovan McMillan, again, has stepped up and led, as well as McIntyre has done that, and so has P.J. O'Brien. So we've got a lot of guys that are just, you know, again, whether it's leading vocally or leading by, you know, example.
Talking about Donovan, he didn't start at the very first couple games last year, but now he's had a whole season with your defense. Had a really good one too. I mean, how have you seen him kind of approach this year, and, you know, what kind of expectations do you have for him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a neat story. I don't think a lot of people talk about. You know, when I asked a couple of our guys, like, you know, just when we got a lot of competition going on everywhere, okay? And, you know, Donovan McMillan was in the heat of competition with him and PJ and, you know, Javon. And I may have told the story a year ago, coming out of spring ball, you know, I'd ask every DB who's the starting safety, and it was Javon McIntyre. We didn't have a second safety. That's kind of, you know, that was, you know, I'm not telling you anything. I didn't tell a lot of our players, tell our safeties, like, hey, right now they don't trust you as a starter. You know, you got a lot of work to do, but you know, PJ and Javonte and Javon McIntyre started, and Donovan came in after, you know, that, you know, second half of that Cincinnati game, took over, and that's, You know, sometimes you can't see it in practice. And, you know, Donovan has continued to understand the defense. I think he's got a great grasp of what we're doing right now. I mean, you know, last year compared to where he is now, be a question for him today. Just like, where is your knowledge base? I bet you he was probably coming out of camp last year, probably a 5. And then he went up to a 7 or 8. And I'd say he's 9 or 10 right now. He's got to feel pretty confident in what we're doing and how we're doing it, which then allows him to take that next step and start leading.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The change and turnover you've had on the coaching staff, what are maybe some of the benefits of that happening? Just how do you feel like that process is coming along right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of benefits. And it's never easy to make those changes. After you do it, you know, you're kind of jumping up and down going, okay, I got it. And again, the hard part is bringing in the right people to get that done. And you look at, you know, Jake Bernowski, our special teams coordinator. It's a fresh start. I think our kids have all bought into special teams, so it's exciting there. And Coach Bell, you know, just I walked out of here 2 minutes before this staff meeting because I'm watching tape with the offense and going through what they did today. And Coach Bell's done an outstanding job with the rest of the new offense coaches on that staff. So they have a lot to prove on offense. And I know Coach Bro's excited about proving what they've got to. And defense got to prove, you know, that they're back.
So yeah, that seems to be a slogan for you guys this year. I see it in your social media, prove it. Well, what are you trying to prove? What are you proving? What do you want the players to prove?
Well, I think again, it starts with the players. I mean, our leadership council, you know, came up with prove it. Like, we got a lot to prove. I mean, where were you a year ago? You know, like that's where you are. You got, you know, a lot of people are going, okay, where's Pitt? They're back where they used to be. Okay, you know, that's not the case. So we got a lot to prove, and got to prove it by position, got to prove it by units, and got to prove it as a team. So there's a lot of proving to do.
Jake,
you
talked about those OTAs
they've
done over the summer,
the
kind of player left
tracks.
Do you think that led to maybe more smooth transition into the fall camp?
You know, Steve, that's a good question. Probably not. Some of my anxieties after practice today is they're doing it on their own. Okay, that's why they call us coaches. And they don't do it right, and they don't do it like we want them to do it, and they don't do it like they do it when there's a lot of coaches standing there watching. So they need coached. And sometimes, you know, I've said this through the years, sometimes, you know, all those OTAs on their own sometimes backfire and aren't as good as you want them to be. At least they're out there working and they're trying. That's the beautiful thing. But as far as the details go, it's got to be more detailed. And, you know, but there's no way of getting that, you know, with the rules and how we're allowed to spend time with our guys.
Coaches and creatures, how difficult was it for you to change your whole offensive approach, personnel approach? And when did you decide you had to make that drastic move?
I don't know, Larry. I can't tell you the last question. You know, we'll just leave it at that. But creatures of habit. You know, I think if you look back, you know, our job is to score points. And you know, when Kenny Pickett was here, you know, we were going to use his arm. We were going to throw it because we knew he could. He had weapons at the receiver spot and win a championship doing it. After that, it was like, okay, Kenny's gone. There was no way the next year, okay, which was 22, that we were going to go out and throw it like Kenny was. It's just not going to happen. So we went to more of a run style. We had Izzy Abandikanda, who, you know, people didn't even know who he was in 22. So we went to a little bit more of a run style and won 9 games doing it that way. It's kind of going back and forth a little bit. I mean, we were spreading it out when Whipple was here and throwing it all over the place. Then we went to more, you know, conservative run it and that kind of thing, because that's what our personnel was probably better at. And I think we're back to where, maybe we can sling it around a little bit more and spread it out.
What did Corey do to earn the promotion to assistant head coach?
Great question. You know, Corey Sanders, assistant head coach, I kind of told him probably months before I was going to do it, and did it, I don't know, the end of June or whatever it was. He's very detailed on defense. I mean, he's been a head coach before. You know, he lost Charlie Partridge, who, did a great job at that role. And I wanted to have somebody, in that role. And, Corey's not a coordinator. He's a guy that I can trust. I think it comes down to trust. I know he's very detailed. I know he's a heck of a teacher. I know he's well respected by the rest of the football team. I think it comes down to respect, first of all. But he's a heck of a coach. He's done a great job developing that room, and he'll take on any role as assistant head coach that I give him.
Does that trust involve him maybe being able to come into your office and tell you maybe something you don't want to hear? Is that kind of
always
what comes with that position?
I mean, that should happen all the time, Chris. I mean, that's like, this is no, we're not hurting anybody's feelings. To me, when you have guys on your staff that you trust, I expect that to happen, okay? And, I can't say that necessarily happened on offense last year. That's one of the things that kind of ticked me off is, didn't seem like there was that come in and say, hey, this is what I think. I don't think we're doing this or that. It was more like they just kind of kept to themselves. And to me, I need a guy. I need guys. I need 10 of them that are like that. I need 10 assistant head coaches that are going to come in and say, hey, coach, I'm just thinking that. That's what I did for D'Antonio, and it wasn't, I think that's what got me the assistant head coaching role when I was there. But, I want 10 of those guys. I don't want a bunch of yes men. I want guys who are going to tell you what they feel, whether they're right or wrong. To me, that's you're really good when you've got that. And, I've got more than one. I know guys will come in, there's not just those guys. I know our coordinators will come in and talk easily. I think Coach Bro will. We've got to, I like our staff a lot.
Do you think there's added pressure knowing how successful the other fall sports at Pitt are right now and not wanting to be the odd man out? I know there's already a lot of pressure, but I'm curious if you ever think of it from that perspective.
Not really. I think we've set the standard, winning ACC championships at the highest level. To me, when you do that and you've been to the championship game, we've already done that. You're going to always take a step backwards, and, we're looking to take four or five forward. But I think it just, when you have success in volleyball and probably should have been an attorney in basketball but weren't, I don't think we won a championship in basketball yet. But to me, you want those. Our guys are looking across. Maybe our guys are going, hey, they won. We got to win. I hope that's what they're looking at, but I wouldn't say there's any added pressure. We've done it.
Personality do you see developing for this team?
Excuse me, Larry?
What kind of personality do you see developing for this team?
I think this football team's got an attitude. I think they're hungry. I think they're determined, to go out and play football the way we expect them to play. So, we got to stay healthy. That's going to be, critical. I think that hurt us a year ago. We got to stay healthy, keep our guys on the field, and keep that O-line healthy, especially. I shouldn't say especially. Like, we have to keep everybody healthy. But I know they got banged up a year ago. That hurt our production on offense a little bit. But I see a hungry football team that's playing with a little chip on the shoulder.
What are your thoughts on rosters expanding next year, and how does that kind of change your approach to recruiting in the next couple months?
Are the rosters expanding or depleting?
Well, I thought it was going to 95 scholarships.
95? Okay, it really could be 105, okay? But really, roster size are going down for football. Right now, we have 120 camp, 120 in camp. We will be down to 117 when school starts, and we try to hold that 117. I got our operations kind of monitoring how many players practice day one all the way to, practice 20 in camp, just to see where we are, just to see how we're going to manage, the new roster number, which is 105, okay? So next year at this time, we'll have 105 guys in camp. That's it. Okay, whether they're on scholarship, whether there's still some walk-ons, it's all yet to be seen. How we're going to manage that, do it. I know from the top, with the chancellor is going to do everything she can. Chancellor Gable to get us what we need. She's competitive. She likes to win, and obviously Heather likes doing the same thing. So we've got great leadership. There's a lot of question marks as far as how we're doing it, what we're doing, but we're going to do what's best for Pitt. And there's going to be a bunch of different ways to slice this thing up. Okay. You know, you can look at it, but there's just so many different ways to look at it. You look at 105 guys, you know, again, we can have 105 scholarships, and we're also able to now pay the players, you know, through, you know, the athletic department, as we know, somewhere between 20 and 22 million will be that purse that we have. But do you pay all 105? You know, right now we're paying 85, you know, or have 85 scholarships. You can have 105 scholarships. Do you go to 95? Do you go to 100? Do you want to save some spots? Do you have some current walk-ons on your team that you want to, have earn it, you know? You think of Jimmy Morrissey back in the day, the Burlsworth. I mean, you know, that award may be gone now. I don't know what's going to happen to it. Depends on how everybody decides to manage the roster. But I can tell you this, if you have 105 scholarships, you know, after the season, you're going to have a lot more guys jumping in the portal. Because they're going, I am not playing here. You know, I mean, just 105 is a lot. And, it'll be fine. You know, it'll be hard to find 105 guys competitive enough to play and do what we need them to do to win a championship here. So that's all things we got to figure out. It's going to be I think everybody's going to have a little different style. Some people might say, I want 97. I don't want 105. Some people might say, I want as many as I can get. So we'll find out how that whole thing is going to roll. But there's a lot to think about. And I just don't really want to think about it right now when I coach football.
Anything else about training camp before we wrap up this session?
After the spring game, you said that Nate Yarnell was QB1 heading into fall camp. But today you're bringing up Eli's leadership and such. Is there going to be an open quarterback competition, or is it still...
There's always competition, Amanda. Again, I think I mentioned it down at the media days down in Charlotte last week. You know, I'm going to continue. And I tell you what, Ty Dieffenbach looked good today. I mean, there's competition. I think competition makes you good. We got competition at every spot on the D-line. It's like, who's going to start at D-end? Who's going to start D-tackle? I want it to be. There's nobody giving anything. You got to come in and still earn it. You can be QB1 coming out of spring ball. You got to come in and earn it. And you got to earn the trust not only your coaches, of your teammates at every position. And at the end of the day, the players should be like, oh yeah, he's a starter. It should be evident. And if it's not, then we got to make decisions as coaches. But to me, the players decide the depth chart. And coming out of spring ball, you know, you got to, hey, if we had to open up spring games over and we throw a depth chart up, then we say, okay, we got to open up today. Who are our guys? You got to be able to make decisions off of spring ball. And then you know what? At the end of August, we got to make decisions as coaches or players on who those guys are going to be. But you have to have competition. If I told, the corners that, hey, there's no competition, he's a starter, and, you guys can go through practice every day if you want to, but you ain't going to win. I want there to be competition at every position. You know, Nate knows that, Eli knows that, Ty knows that. I'm going to continue to mention those guys' names because they do some nice things on the field.
How does the departure of Christian Vader maybe open some doors or open some other opportunities for some of those guys you mentioned, and how does that change the competition?
Yeah, I mean, Christian was a talented young man, and we wish him luck as he took off, but it opens it up where we've got five scholarship quarterbacks right now, and it gives it opportunities for the guys that are clearly, guys that we trust to run our offense and do what we need them to do. They're going to protect the football, priority number one. I think turnover ratio is the number one critical thing to winning football games, and you got to protect the ball. And, we now, like Ty Dieffenbach is going to get better because he's getting more reps. If you were to throw another quarterback in the mix, how do you get four quarterbacks ready? It's hard. We can get three quarterbacks ready, and we really have to get two really, really, really ready. And that's what we'll try to do as we go through camp. But three will, get a lot of reps. Julian Duggar got reps today, and he looks much improved. It looks like he's had a great summer.
Great. Why don't you take the last one?
Nate and Gavin talked about how Coach Bell is kind of expecting perfection from them in the offensive room. Have you kind of seen him setting the standard on the offensive side of the ball for this season?
Yeah, I mean, he's better. He's the leader of the offense. And I said this a week ago. Like, Coach Bell seems like a younger Pat Narduzzi back in the day. Kind of aggressive, young, emotional, and again, just demanding excellence. And, you can't be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But we're demanding excellence out of our players. And, the thing I love about them. Okay, it's kind of like I said, the characteristic you see out of him that I didn't know when I hired him is just like he is so, you could throw a touchdown pass, but he's, he's complaining about the protection. Okay, it's not like, oh, that's great, next play, like, no. Even, hey, he caught a touchdown pass, but look at that was a crappy route. Like, he's got to be we're not going to win on Saturdays with that route. So it's not just, okay, we made a play, we scored a touchdown. It's detailed, 11 guys taking care of all those little things matter. And, you know, if you just look at the outcome of a play and not look at all the bad things, it's almost like the negative guy in the room. Like, it's always like, the coaches makes me say, back in the day, as an old coordinator, everybody else is like, well, what a great play. And I'm the grumpy guy, picking out all the other crap that was wrong in the play. And to me, that's how you become great. And that's what I love about what we're doing there. And even Coach, Bradowski, in special teams. I don't talk injuries.
Great. Thank you, Coach.
Maybe later. Get out of here. Anything else? Yeah, I'll give you one later, but not today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.